Hello, everyone, and welcome to GFG tonight. We are learning more about the exact distribution of the money when FTX went bankrupt. And I've covered these news, and at some point I was wondering, am I talking about the same amount? Because there was a news that was coming out, $400 million was took from FTX, and then $300 million moved there from FTX. I was like, are we talking about the same amount of money? Who is the stealer? Who is the thief? Who is the Bahamas authorities taking over legitimately the money so that they can reimburse the investors? I was confused, but now we know more. And it's not looking good for the investors. There's basically a conflict. Everyone tried to pull the crypto out of FTX at the last minute. A thief has gotten $350 million. The Bahamas government has gotten $400 million. And the thief, by the way, I say thief. It could be SBF. Many people believe it is SBF or someone close to SBF. And some amount of money was also kept by FTX. And that would be the amount of money that gets eventually to the defrauded investors. But after the lawyers have taken their fees, and in such a big bankruptcy process, you can have massive fees ranging in the hundreds of millions of dollars. So there's not much left for the little investor. In any case, a lot is happening. On Twitter, I'm having a fascinating discussion with a guy who wanted to destigmatize sex work. And it's a team that joins both the leftist and the libertarian. The leftists just tend to be they tend to be high on sexual openness, and the libertarians tend to believe that because something is illicit, that's why it's wrong. But if we were to come out and allow it and not prosecute it and not stigmatize it, that everything would be better because it would be consensual. And we'll review that discussion. I wanted to... Oh, this is hilarious. Someone shared this on the Discord, a translation of a rap battle. You know, when you watch a rap battle, sometimes there are terms from the streets you may not understand. Well, someone was kind enough to generate a translation of a freestyle battle of Hydrogen versus Boost. Let's see what they say.
Good evening. I would like to begin by introducing myself. My name is Hydrogen, and I come from a low-income neighborhood where life is not very comfortable. I've stolen many things and been involved in many altercations, most of which have ended in gunfire. In addition to this, I've had sexual intercourse with a great number of the opposite sex. In contrast, and despite the lack of legitimate evidence, I believe you two have been involved in a fair amount of homosexual activities, activities I and my companions look down upon. I am so much stronger than you, and my powers of rhetoric so much greater than yours, that you could employ an army of some sort to aid in your fight with me, but I, of course, would prevail, because I am stronger than you. I'm sure I needn't remind you of my place of birth, wherein, as I explained before, the living conditions are much worse than in your aforementioned city of residence. I would like to stop here for a moment and remind you that I am in fact orating with little or no prior preparation, an act commonly referred to as freestyling. Once again, and I think this bears repeating, I would like to restate my claim that I am in fact much stronger and have endured a larger number of hardships than you. Hardships which have left me with an aggressive behavior and an imposing demeanor which I believe...
It keeps going on for 3 minutes. This is so funny. I had not seen that. People are saying it's a classic. I was not aware that this existed. I was laughing my ass off. Oh my god. There is a fascinating development on the internet by our friend Dick Masterson. He has developed a platform that is Patreon but decentralized. That is great. And someone from the audience even volunteered to test it and subscribe at the $5 level on Backed By. So Backed By is basically a Patreon clone. And it is through the blockchain. So no one can censor me. You are sending directly to my wallet. So there's no There's no withdrawing at the end of the month or someone seizing my money. It is incredible. Incredible work, extremely well programmed. I've been trying it. I've been creating the JFG Tonight project on there. And so if you prefer that to Subscribestar, if you have USDT coins or USDC, I believe, it's the coins in which you can give. And it's through the Polygon network. So you can have a MetaMask wallet and it's connected to the regular Ethereum network. Now, you can just change the network to which you connect and you keep the same wallet. You keep your seed words. The MetaMask is still the same program, but you go onto another network, the Polygon, which is an alternative. It's a lower cost alternative. Total Grimm says it's USDC, USDT, or DAI, and you need Matic for the gas. So instead of paying in Ethereum, you pay in Matics to make the transaction happen. I find it wonderful. Because unlike Ethereum, where a single transaction can cost you sometimes at the peak of the bull run, it can be $100 making a transaction. That couldn't work for a subscription model. But on the Polygon network, it sends. So really, if you send me $5 and you pay 1 cent on it or 2 cents on it, I don't know how much it will be. But in any case, you are sending much more efficiently toward me, because if we pass through Patreon, there's fees, there's percentages taken, and there's the credit card fees. So it's a much more efficient way to get money to me. So I fully support the backed buy. And yes, there is a hurdle when you start, because you have to start a freaking Polygon wallet. But when you realize how easy it is, you realize I should have done this a long time ago. I did it this morning and I was like, how am I going to get Matic on there? And the fact is, it's pretty easy. Pretty easy with MetaMask. You add network and you add the Polygon network and there you go, you're set up. It's a good network to be on because it's a low-cost version of ETH. And so there are transactions that are made impossible on ETH because of the cost, but they are totally feasible on Polygon. Speaker's Corner says, lol, big block per white paper, laughing my ass off. I don't know what you're talking about. You may be... Okay, Cloudwarmer was saying, why do we even need the Lightning Network? Big blocks per the white paper. Okay, so I don't know about this debate of should Bitcoin be made to be more efficient or should a second layer be added like Lightning Network. I don't care about these things. I want people to develop whatever they want. I don't care. Cloudwarmer had sent a super chat. He had said, JF, Command and Conquer Remastered is cheap as fuck on Steam right now. Never. Do you hear me, Cloudwarmer? Never will I play Command and Conquer Remastered. I am not interested in remastery of anything, sir. I will only play this game on emulation that perfectly reproduces the original experiment. The original experience that I could have playing this game. I'm not interested in higher resolution. I'm not interested in better sound. Even if the cost on Steam was 1 cent, I will never play Command and Conquer Remastered Collection, because as people say it on the chat, I am based. I am a based anarcho-primitivist, traditionalist, original Command and Conquer player. Fuck your remastery. Cloudwarmer also sent a second chat. He said, Tate, what color is your Bugatti? Jeff, what color are your ancestors? A hypothetical discussion that could have happened between me and Tate, I guess. That would have been funny. It shows the two levels of caring. Cloud Warmer says, JF, emulation is not original hardware. Where is your Pentium 4? You want to know where my Pentium 4 is? It is being kept in the dry, in a nice basement, to reduce the entropy so that it can still function years from now. It is being kept like a museum item in the basement of my mom. And I don't know what to do with it. If someone could get rid of it, that would be great, because it's very long for me to drive back home to get just this computer. Harmless G says, is the Peace River region of BC and Alberta the most based part of Canada? I know it's rural, right-wing by Canadian standards, white by Canadian standards, and rich in fossil fuel resources. Also, I hear few non-whites move there because of the cold. I don't know this region at all, so I'm not in a position to counsel you anything about it. All I know is the furthest you get from big cities, the best position you'll be in. See, this is what I like about Twitter. I'm engaging with in a debate with a guy who wanted to legitimize and destigmatize sex work. And the guy, so I disagree with this guy. And we get a back and forth that happens instantly. That is what's so wonderful about Twitter, is having legitimate disagreements and hashing them out in a way that everyone can then read and judge for themselves. Sex work, he says, sex work is work. All work should be dignified. The lack of dignity in sex work is not inherent because sex work would be bad, but the product of a system that lacks dignity. Systems are changeable. Let's change the system. And I think there's some delusion in there. This idea that the problems with sex work are purely cultural. That is typical of the Marxist mindset. It always boils down to there has to be something in society that we can fix. There has to be an education way out of it. And I don't think that it is the case. I think there's something inherently bad about sex work that is not fixable through social mechanism. And it's an evolutionary reason. But before I continue reading this discussion, Speaker's Corner says, Odyssey is stopping me sending you super chats because they don't have capability in app. I only watch this show in bed before I go to sleep. It's 2 a.m. here. Well, I'm sorry about this. I don't know, bro. Perhaps there is an entropy solution. Perhaps if you open in a separate tab entropy, you could send me super chats. But worst case scenario, send me your donations through some other mean and just chat in the regular chat, and I tend to read any interesting interaction. You can label it if you want to make sure that I read it. Say, JF, please read this in a way that will flash my eyes, that will catch my attention. So he thinks that sex work can be dignified merely by social change. I say the reason is inherent indeed. So basically I'm saying you're wrong. It's inherent, and he says it's not inherent. The reproductive value of an individual lies in their loyalty, capacity to ensure the paternity of the male partner, and the stability of emotional attachment, all of which are compromised when one engages or consumes sex work. What I'm saying to him is, men are equipped with emotional judgmental systems to assess the loyalty of their females. Inherently, sex work messes with these detectors that we have in our brain, and legitimately so, because it's a red flag that may point to all sorts of other behaviors and other situations that you would want to avoid as a male. So you won't ever fix this. You could convince the males not to have this judgment, but even if you were to do this, then the males will be deprived of information that would be that would have been useful to them. They would be basically misled into a bad lifestyle with a disloyal woman or a woman who will end up lying to them or having sex with other men and therefore their babies. So that is a problem. You cannot fix this by education. You cannot fix this by destigmatization. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, so when people say it is the oldest industry, what cope is that based on? I thought it was obvious in old text and religious doctrine that sex workers were not held in the highest regard. Yes, I think it's been pretty clear that across history, it is something that social communities reject, and there must be a reason for this. You don't end up with this reaction to sex work out of pure random. The reaction has been homogeneous, and the reason is probably that sex work is just a declination of infidelity. It's a form of infidelity, really. When you cannot fully dedicate to your man and you have to find other men who are providing for you, you are by definition split in your set of interests. The paternal certainty is by definition split among multiple men that fuck you. That's a problem. He says, reproductive value in the genetic sense is not actual value. We also have condoms, hormonal birth control, and no evidence that sex work degrades emotional attachment. So, no. He says, the condoms and hormonal birth is not an argument. Because if my female, for the purpose of gathering money for herself, goes to fuck other men, but for the purpose of sterilizing herself from these other men, also sterilizes herself from me, that's not good. That is, I'm paying the price still. I'm being a cuck, but I'm not being a cuck to other men. I'm being a cuck to void and inexistence. I'm being cuckolded by nothingness. It's as bad evolutionarily. From my perspective, I lose babies. Didorogovich says, she does it because she loves you. And so I respond to this because that's a point I haven't even addressed because I don't think it's worth considering. Evolutionarily, if my woman, for the purpose of performing her job, has to self-sterilize, I've been cucked. I've been cucked, but just in a different way than usual. So I answer, well, here's the evidence you're requesting. If you can hashtag believe woman. And so I report from a scientific study that says most women, 78%, reported that overall sex work affected their personal romantic relationships in predominantly negative ways. So hear it from the woman themselves. They will tell you that it's messing their personal romantic relationship. Of course, I mean, if you've watched any TV show on the subject, if you've watched witness testimony from these women, they will basically all tell you that there is some sort of messing up of their personal life. And I suspect that even the small minority who don't say this, it may be because they lack self-introspection and they lack an ability to even realize how much they're hurting people around them. And then I add, as for actual value, it doesn't exist. It's a social construct. There's no such thing as actual value. People have value for something. You may have value for me as an employee. You may have value for me as a reproductive partner. You don't have actual value. I don't have actual value. You can only be valued for something. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, if she sterilizes voluntarily, I've been cucked. Worth mentioning, too, that your taxes are contributing to the welfare payments of other people's children, so you are cucked at this level also. Also, yes, the LBC bags seem bottomless, and the drip feed continues, Jeff. Cloud Warmer. It seems to me that you could make an effort and send me 100 LBCs sometimes. Just saying, you have such a big bag, Cloud Warmer. I can feel 2 spherical masses as I touch the contours of your bag. 2 spherical masses, each weighing about 1 million BTC. Why couldn't you send me at least 100 BTC sometimes? I would highly appreciate, given the profundity of your bag. So that was my answer to him. He says, he claims that I misread the study. He says, did you read the study? The negative relationship effects were largely a result of the clandestine nature of the work because of social shaming. Back to the systemic point from earlier. What evidence do you have that in a free and open society it would be damaging? So I say biological evidence. It would be reproductively irrational for a male not to respond to indicators of risk and lack of loyalty that have been valid for our entire evolutionary history. So that's my response to, do I have evidence that even in a free world, there would be an issue developing between men and women? Yes, there would. There would, because men have to detect and evaluate and judge the reliability of their woman. And if the woman displays 1,000 red flags a day and sucks 1,000 dicks a day, that's 1,000 red flags a day that should alarm your normal senses of loyalty detection. And those senses are biologically ingrained. We've evolved to have them. One of the things that causes the most anger in a couple is signs of disloyalty, signs of betrayal, and signs of looking for other individuals to mate with. So, of course, prostitution, by definition, just splashes you with these signs, bombards your brain with these signs, and you're going to cause anger and distrust. Now, on his earlier point, that somehow this study demonstrated that it's the clandestine nature that makes sex work negative for women. He says that this comes from this sentence right here. Most women, 78%, reported that overall, sex work affected their personal romantic relationships in predominantly negative ways, mainly relating to issues stemming from lying, trust, guilt, and jealousy. That is not evidence that it's the clandestine nature of prostitution that is affecting them negatively. When you talk about trust, you're talking about the trust of a man in his woman. Of course, if you see your woman going to suck 1,000 dick a day, you lack trust. Of course, the woman will feel guilt. It's not social shaming that does this. It is the fact that she knows that she's triggering those defenses in the male brain, and she knows that it's torturous and it's evil to do so. So no, I don't buy his argument at all. I stand by my claim. It is something that is not resolvable via social change and education or de-shaming. Cantor says, funny how he will not give this social stigma benefit to the doubt to the age gap relationships, even if it is less than 10 years. I'm not sure what would be his position on this. I haven't detected. I don't know if you know any other tweets of his. I don't know the guy. But yeah, I'm not in a position to take position on this. Cloud Warmer has sent 100 LBC. And he says, JF, you have exceptional negotiation skills. Thank you so much, Cloud Warmer. I can't wait to sell those LBCs when they reach $1,000 each. Harmless G says, what is your outlook for breeder cults like the Ruralite Amish or the urbanite yet high fertility ultra-Orthodox Jew? I think they are great. I think it's the way to go. They are organizing pairing and dating within the society in some extreme ways. I've seen a documentary where the Orthodox Jews, they were paired by their parents. Their parents said, you two, you're going to breed. And they were, and the documentary was filming them just after their first day together. They had not known each other. Their parents had decided, you two are living together. And not just living like in a Western civilization, modern sense. Like, you guys are married. You reproduce now. And it was beautiful because they were like, hey, we've been together for 24 hours and I love her. She's great. She's exactly the kind of woman I would have wanted. And the woman was the same. She was like, yeah, my parents have done an amazing choice. That's exactly what I wanted. So they were happy. If you go around the big problem of young people's choice, you solve a lot of problems in the dating world. Now, I'm a libertarian. I believe in the value of choice. But holy shit, are we going through a lot of suffering to establish this stable choice pattern in Western civilization. And we may lose our civilization trying. We may die trying to give full freedom of choice to women and men in this world. That is something to be thought about. What if I was to tell you that the only way to survive on this earth is to put some authoritarianism into the dating system, to have parents make a little more decisions for their children? Should we do it, or should we pursue liberty at all costs, including death? I say the existential question is a priority. We must ensure that we exist before we ensure that we're free. Nicholas Petris says, if it's just work, would you be fine with your daughter/wife choosing this profession? I don't think my wife/daughter has to justify their profession to me. That's the point. Good Lord. Okay, he's quoting the guy. Is it another tweet that he did that I didn't read? Okay, I will go read after the show his further tweets. I didn't get further than this. The thing is, the theoretical question of should we accept or destigmatize social work is very easy to come at from a purely theoretical perspective. But the reality on the ground is that men must have defense mechanism against dishonest and disloyal females. And if you fully destigmatize, you are depriving men of this good defense mechanism. This defense mechanism, which would make you as a man stand in solidarity with another man who's a friend of yours, or a brother of yours, or a parent of yours, or a child of yours. And when you tell that person, don't engage in this. Either don't do prostitution or don't consume prostitution. Because on both ends, you are experiencing a deceptive interaction. All of it is deceptive. Because fundamentally, the sexual excitation that you will feel is meant to make babies. And if it doesn't result in a baby, it's a lie. Kuntzilla says, I think about this question often and I have not resolved it. I am so much for freedom. I feel like people should choose even if they must die for that choice. Yeah, that's the Braveheart problem. The Braveheart problem is we've been sold liberty too much, which is why I say let's bring back balance here. It doesn't make sense to be a combatant of liberty if all combatants of liberty die in the process of defending it. because it will be the last liberty you'll ever see on the earth. It's not worth leading a fight that you cannot exist through, because you won't be able to bring that fight to the conclusion. And eventually you'll get replaced by people who don't like. Calm down on the chat. I will ban you if you continue. Calm down. Landalt Guntram says, some Amish give their young adult kids a year off to go and have a look at the outside world. Looks like sufficiently many keep returning back to keep the community going. Oh yeah, when you give a year like this, you're not going to get much defection. Because the reality is, if you've been raised in a sensical world with female availability, with tradition and mental health, and you get unleashed into the sick world that we live in, and that's the whole premise of the movie Kingpin, right? It's an Amish who's tasked with going to observe modern society. I don't think many of them would like what they see and would not want to return to their idyllic places of living. Well, the guy is complaining now. He's spamming the chat by saying that I'm a fake. Well, I am a fake, but I am a fake with a voice on this channel. And you are no one on this channel because I just banned you. This is hilarious. Sam Hyde is a fucking genius of comedy. He's made a parody of of these social influencer videos made by women who are just bragging about the luxury in which they live. You know, like the Twitter woman who was like, also, I had a luxury coffee made for me, and here's my little yoga room. And yeah, I'm a social media expert. I work at Twitter. This guy is fucking hilarious. Look at this.
My day is a 28-year-old social influencer from Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Start the day with an Erewhon Get Up and Go smoothie. That's chia seeds, kefir, vanilla extract, and a little bit of AG1. Got to decide what to take to work. Should I take my off-road truck or my $250,000 sports car? Definitely taking the sports car. First stop, my favorite little unknown coffee shop, Borealis. If you're in Barrington, check them out. Make sure you ask for the Sam Hyde. It's not on the menu, but they'll make it for you if you ask nicely. Spinning up an e-commerce website for one of our partners that we did a collab with, and get another perfect cup of coffee on the way out. It's 1:30 p.m., so I'm rolling into work, and look who just happens to be there, Laker and Joey.
So hilarious. Oh my god, we have spammers. Let's see how many spammer accounts do they have. We will detect each of your spammer accounts. We will ban each of them. I'm a collector. I collect accounts worth banning, you see? Okay, I will ban you. There you go. You are banned. It never stops. It never stops. Oh, but yes, he was banned, but he creates other accounts. That's what they do. But at some point, they get tired. At some point, they're like, okay, am I going to create a separate account or just go sleep? And eventually, they go to sleep while Papa JF keeps meat grinding. More accounts banned. I'm a Pac-Man of free speech. Just jump, 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 jump. FTX says $413 million worth of cryptocurrency was stolen from failed exchange. Debtors from the bankrupt cryptocurrency exchange FTX have said that around $413 million worth of cryptocurrency was stolen from the company through unauthorized transfer. So that is the big amount that will drag a lot of attention. That is the amount that totally went away when FTX went bankrupt. It could have been taken through the back door by SBF. It could have been taken by someone at the order of SBF, or it could have been taken by an employee who saw the chaos develop and who said, all right, here's my chance. I'm going to steal the keys and send myself all this money. So the division of the money and how it went when shit started hitting the fan, there's $323 million, which was subject to unauthorized third-party transfers, $426 million of which was $426 million, which is separate from this amount, was transferred to Cold Storage under the control of the Securities Commission of the Bahamas. So all of this happened all at the same time. An amount was stolen, an amount was taken by the Bahamas and would be safe at this point, but held by government that has fundamentally different interests than the American government in all this. Because you have the American case that is developing as a case mostly to protect Binance.us customers. And then you have the Bahamas who are taking this money mostly to reimburse potentially fees at the Bahamas level of prosecution or bankruptcy proceedings, and to reimburse I meant FTX US. So FTX in the US, and then the Bahamas authorities are mostly concerned about the clients of FTX International. The Sixth Sense sends a link. Media startup Semaphore plans to buy out FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried's $10 million investment in the company. That was today. The startup media company launched last year with SBF as its biggest investor. Okay, so they are buying SBF out of their company. Of course, that's understandable. They don't want to be attached to SBF. They don't want to be included, of course, in the bankruptcy proceeding in any way. So that's understandable. So here we have about $700 million total accounted for. And then there was roughly $181 million of digital assets, $90 million of which was subject to unauthorized third-party transfers post-petition. So even FTX US exchange, a part of the money has flied away, and it's $90 million. That is a massive amount of money transfer happening in the US with the US money. I'm wondering what's happening with this. And $88 million of which is in cold storage under the control of the FTX debtors. So we have a similar scenario happening in the US, but at a smaller case, presumably because there was less money there. But the US money has been partly stolen in the US also. And that looks like an event that is similar in its proportions across the two organizations, which may eventually become evidence that some kind of central planning of this flying away with the money occurred. You know, you can see that the same thing has been done to the US funds as has been done to the Bahamas funds, and that basically a similar ratio of the money was successfully stolen. The Sixth Sense says, I still think there is something hiding in the background, something that is much bigger than what we see now. You mean a god? A god pulling the string? Kenter says to the Sixth Sense, question is if it is worth it. American companies cuck very hard to reputational memes, but in my honest opinion, the damage is already done. Better keep the cash, in my honest opinion. Well, you keep the cash if you're a functional company who doesn't truly believe in itself. But if you believe that there's value to what you do and that eventually you will gain value, then you want to buy out people like SBF, of course, because you're estimating that any profit on this will be just drained away by the bankruptcy process. Like, imagine that these shares of SBF in this initial investment were to be tripling in value in the next 3 years. There might very well be a hold on it, and it might very well be going to the FTX debtors who are owed money by SBF. Secretive surveillance program captured 150 million international money transfers spanning 20 countries. A secretive financial surveillance database established by the Arizona Attorney General's office in 2014 has ballooned into a behemoth tool used by more than 600 law enforcement entities, which can search for more than 150 million money transfers between people in the US and more than 20 countries, according to internal program documents. So basically, they have a full overlook and hold onto everything that happens financially. That is the sad result of the changes of laws that have been eventually affecting the US, the Patriot Act, and the surveillance measures enacted by presidents ranging from George Bush to Barack Obama. And at this point, there's no such thing as secrecy. You may have secrecy in certain specialized crypto, but overall, they know everything about you. Kenter says, the company is kind of shit, though. SBF invested in everything, and I kind of fear Binance is doing the same to pump up the entire market. I only trust BTC, not other coins. Yeah, that's a wise decision. I believe that BTC will prevail, no matter what happens to all the other stuff. Derek Chauvin appeals his conviction in the George Floyd case. So I guess that it will be an appeal based on various technical grounds. It's going to be very hard. It's going to be very hard because I think a lot of the dishonesty in this trial was about what was the experts coming in and being dishonest. But the problem is, you cannot win an appeal on an expert being just, you know, interested in your losing the case. They would have had to commit some kind of professional error, some kind of demonstrable lie, that kind of stuff. But given that they were just very dishonest experts, the problem is that it's legal to be a dishonest expert. So on the appeal level, it's very hard to gain on that ground. So I don't know what else he will have. We'll see. It's probably just a continuation of the motions to dismiss and the motion to redo the trial that were already expressed in front of the court. A violent attack of two girls in Failsworth, Oldham, in the UK, apparently. Let's see what this attack was about. You see the audio pollution? I cannot get a single video of a single fight in our modern world where I don't hear, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. Of course, violence is happening across our school systems. People are getting bullied. People are getting bullied for their race. People are getting bullied for no reason at all. And it sucks. It sucks that society has become like that. I think that the only solution for now is isolation from a non-sustainable civilization, a civilization that mistreats its people. Post-Czar was right. Saudis confirmed that they have went through a non-dollar oil trade plans in Davos. Earlier this month, a former NY Fed repo guru, Zoltan Pozsar, wrote one of his most important reports of 2022, in which he described how Putin could unleash hell on the Western financial system by demanding that instead of dollars, Russian oil exporters are paid in gold, effectively pegging oil to gold and launching petrogold. Then China's President Xi visit with Saudi and GCC leaders marked the birth of the petro-yuan and a leap in China's growing encumbrance of OPEC plus oil and gas reserves. That's because with the China-GCC summit, China can now claim to have built a special relationship not only with the plus sign in OPEC plus, Russia, but with Iran and all of OPEC plus. So I don't understand the details of all of this, but what I get from it is there is a multipolar world intensifying. DK Shadow has the perfect words for this. Multipolar world intensifies. Yes, that's what I get from it. The American dollar will no more be the reserve value for, well, progressively people will detach from its use as a reserve value. And in combination to all this, which is just the petrol side of it, in combination to all this, you have crypto also threatening the reserve value status of the USD. And the USD itself being undermined in its value through the American domestic market of money printing and politicians influencing the money printing and benefiting from the money printing, and also getting ourselves into so many deficits that money printing becomes the only way to get out of it. All of this sets the stage for a very interesting set of events that will weaken America in the long run. There was a fun moment caused by Rebel News. They are in Davos, apparently. They caught the Pfizer CEO on the streets, and they recognized him, so they ran to him, and they started asking questions from him for 6 minutes. Without him ever answering a thing, him just walking straight. It's quite hilarious, I have to grant it to Rebel News. Look at this.
Or like, can I ask you, when did you know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission? How long did you know that without saying it publicly?
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Answer that question. I mean, we now know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission, but why did you keep it secret? You said it was 100% effective, then 90%, then 80%, then 70%. But we now know that the vaccines do not stop transmission.
It keeps going for 6 minutes. I have to grant them that they have great inspiration to be asking 6 minutes of per questions without even a pause for answers to be expressed. It's quite fascinating.
Sudden deaths.
At some point, he's joined by a second journalist who's also asking questions.
What do you have to say about young men dropping dead of heart attacks every day? Why won't you answer these basic questions?
What do you have to say about young men dropping of heart attacks every day? Yeah, it is spectacle journalism, just like Alex Stein sometimes does, but it's interesting because it causes a human interaction that you would never get otherwise. You would never get the guy who's responsible for the Pfizer vaccine to be thrown these challenges to his face. And that's it's uncomfortable, awkward, and I love it. Now, he's a professional, so he knows how to react. He just keeps walking straight and acts like the journalists don't exist. He doesn't even have a moment where he turns back and says, oh, you know what, I'd like to answer this question. He just goes straight and says nothing. Greta has been arrested. Here she is taking pictures of her arrest, and the police are like posing for the arrest. And that tweet was saying, this is the green movement hoax, and this is a comparison with the green movement reality. So on the right, you have the industrial process that is necessary to create those big batteries that are meant to replace fossil fuel.
And in the most wretched conditions, Dorsan is ordered to retrieve the sack he's forgotten. There's an urge.
So she is a civil rights resistor who accepts to be arrested for the cause. She's all smiling. Those are the people actually involved in producing batteries. And they are not smiling as much as her.
Now, the rains make this dangerous work even more risky.
Now, this take from Greta Thunberg is worrying me. Is Greta losing her edge in terms of being a cute young woman? Is Greta becoming round-faced and fat? There's always been something baby-faced about Greta, but I'm worried here. This is not just baby-faced. This is the face of Greta that I expected after she gets 11 babies. But she got zero. So what is it? Donuts? Donuts in the Starbucks? Greta is expanding. And I'm worried for her cause because there's another cuter now. Cuter ecologist woman. She may replace her fully.
On certain terms, he risks a beating if he...
Yeah, I don't know. She still seems okay on the waist side. But she is 20 now. Well, normally at 20, you can still be beautiful if you're a woman. I find this all bizarre, all worrying for her cause. A corrupt circle jerk of select human beings, the Davos just reached peak creepy. Brian Stelter just sitting there instead of challenging this petty fascist is a big reason why he's unemployed. European Commission VP was saying right in the face of Brian Stelter, illegal hate speech, which you will have soon also in the US, I think that we have a strong reason why we have this in the criminal law. If you think it's impossible to make hate speech illegal in the US. There is the First Amendment. That is a strong defense of anything. So I don't think that the hate speech model of Europe can ever be imported into the US unless you have such a political domination by Democrats that they're able to abolish the First Amendment. But somehow I have difficulty imagining this in the short term. So no, I think she's wrong. But yeah, Brian Stelter being the puppet of the regime that he is, of course, his role is just to stay there, listen to stupid things, and not react. Doubting Thomas says, JF, someone should remind Greta that eating those excess calories is increasing her carbon footprint. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. She could benefit from a little less eating, but I won't be too critical on this side because I could also, you know, I could lose some weight. And so perhaps we can do a diet competition, me and Greta, who can lose weight faster. End of the line, Joel says, hate speech, another invented concept that the normies have embraced. Yeah, it's a complete construction. Of a legal system. So in Europe, it exists because the legal system invents it, basically. But in America, it's impossible to... That's why they make all these detoured laws where they say, you're going to be accused of hate fueling a crime. And they have to attach what you did to a ultimate crime. They cannot sue you for the speech. So they will say, hate speech that leads to a crime is illegal. And really, they're trying to slide the concept in like this. But it's not going to pass a First Amendment analysis. Trump criticizes evangelical leaders for not backing his 2024 presidential bid. Well, the problem of Trump is he's been trying to play the middleman where in the culture war. He's been trying to be a soft Republican. When he had promised to not be a soft Republican, when he had run on an election platform that was not soft Republicanism, and he ended up being a soft Republican. So, okay, we're going to combat abortion here like this, but we're not going to have principled stand on all sorts of things. So, of course, the evangelical leaders are abandoning you. The fact is, from the perspective of social conservatism, Trump, you are not interesting at all, which is why even I am switching toward Ron DeSantis. Even if my audience hates him in many ways and they tell me, JF, be careful about... I'm going to ban here Kenter. You are banned, Kenter. I'm going to switch to Ron DeSantis simply because I can have a better hope that we head toward a true social conservatism. And you, Trump, have no credibility in pushing social conservatism when you can't even stand for with your base on the vaccine question, for example. So what do you have left? You betrayed your base on the vaccine question. You betrayed the evangelical by not being radical enough on social conservatism. I think it's better we all move on to something else, someone else who can do the job better. Breaking, Volodymyr Zelensky said that the helicopter crash in Brovary near Kiev is the result of the war. I don't know if it's a true report. The result of the war. It's the whole question, because it's a helicopter crash this morning that killed the entire interior ministry. The entire interior ministry of Ukraine. The minister and its aides, its staff. There were even two children in the helicopter. And at first I thought it could be a strike of Russia, but some people are thinking that it was really the Ukrainians shot their own helicopter. Now, there are some people who believe this. The official position right now seems to be that the helicopter somehow touched a building, a low building. They were flying too low, and there was a two-floor building, and it led the helicopter to crash. No matter what is the explanation, it's a very important event, an event that will change the war to the extent that the interior side of Ukraine has just been eliminated in terms of its leadership. Breaking, Madonna is accused in Africa. Okay, I don't know what's the worth of an African accusation, in the sense that you have such corrupted systems for justice in there that if they were to accuse Madonna and start prosecuting Madonna, what does that mean? Is it true, or do they just hate Madonna, or does the dictator hate Madonna? I have no idea. But in any case, Madonna has been accused of child pornography and running a child sex trafficking ring in an orphanage in southern Africa under the name Raising Malawi. Madonna started a foundation called Raising Malawi in 2006 to help orphans and other underprivileged children in Malawi get access to healthcare and education. These allegations against the 64-year-old singer were made by the Ethiopian World Federation. EWF was established in the United States in 1937, according to its website. It is a civic organization that pushes policies and advocates to change the laws that harm all black people. The EWF has urged Malawian President Lazarus Chakwera to look into homosexual and transgender allegations regarding the adoption of Malawian children for possible human trafficking and social experiments, according to All Africa. That is so interesting. Are we about to see a form of based Africa going after the pedophile ring of the world headed by a pop superstar? I can feel the QAnon people like, oh, I need that dopamine hit. Bring it to me, JF. Oh my God, that is hilarious. What do we have here? Is there actual evidence of human trafficking? Or is it that Africa is social conservative and when they see Madonna take the little black boy from Africa, save him, nourish him with vitamin K and all this, and give him to an American gay family, an adoptive family, or an American trans family? Is it what's happening that Madonna had good intentions, but her behavior from an open society of liberalism has shocked the based African who says, hey, we disagree with our children being brought to families like this? I don't know. But in any case, we see one of the phantasm of QAnon realizing itself, Hollywood, pedophile ring. You have everything in there. Tide Surfer says, I'm not surprised. I don't think Malawi has the infrastructure to do the proper investigation. They are an extremely poor country. Yeah, the fact is that whenever you have these orphanage funding, it's human trafficking all the way down. Like, you could have Madonna throw money at this. At each level, there's going to be human trafficking. They're going to sell the children. It's horrible. It's horrible. There's just no way in which it doesn't turn into human trafficking. It turns into human trafficking even in a country with due process and law like the US. So, of course, if you do that in Africa, worse will happen. Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla announces at Davos new mRNA flu vaccine is due by June or July. So we're going to get an extrapolation of the mRNA vaccine for initially COVID will now be used for the seasonal flu, which is quite fascinating given the great doubts about the safety of the current vaccine and the rising observations of sudden death. Extrapolating it to the same technology to another virus, I think will bring more risks that will be even harder to monitor. And eventually, you're going to have so much consumption of these vaccines in the population, you won't have a control group to compare to. Your control group is going to be people trying to recover slowly from the COVID vaccine. Okay, that's our control group. We just gave them two vaccines. Let's see if the people with three vaccines die more. It's getting hard. It's getting hard to have a control group at all. Our friend Gonzalo Lira has been interacting with Tom. Tom was accusing him on Twitter that he's a sex tourist. You're a sex tourist blogger who randomly decided to commentate on war because you happened to be in Ukraine during one of your sex tours. Gonzalo Lira answers, let me correct some of your statements there, Tom. I've lived in Kharkov, Ukraine since 2016 with my wife and two small children. But I notice you didn't correct any of my statements. Oh, right, because they're not wrong, you blubbering imbecile. Accusing Gonzalo Lira of being a sex tourist, when in fact he is seeding families according to the whims of his dick, is quite reductionist. However, you know, technically, it's not because you stay longer that it's not sex tourism, and it's not because you engage in a monogamous relationship with a single woman who has two of your children, that it's not sex tourism. It is still sex tourism, technically, what CRP is doing, but it's the good form of it. It's the form where you marry the woman, you stay with her, you care for her, and you make a family with her. So I fully agree with this level of sex tourism. Like, find the best partner for yourself across the planet and be monogamous with them and just live your entire life with them. Outrage ensues as DeSantis engineers a conservative overhaul of progressive college. What does that mean? Oh yeah, okay, so DeSantis announcements that he intends to turn a flailing liberal public university into the Sunshine State's answer to Hillsdale College has drawn fierce criticism from progressives. He's trying to build a university that will be right-wing in Florida? Good luck, Ron DeSantis, good luck. The problem with the university system is it's a little bit like crypto. It has a decentralized structure, a completely biased decentralized structure that is ethnically controlled and that is impenetrable for any hostile force, because the peer review system ensures that the only people who get their articles published are those who are totally in line with the whole set of assumptions of the regime. Now, you can start a university. Eventually, your university is going to attract professors that will be labeled, that will have the label that they are at this university, and they won't be able to publish. And then what? Well, then people are going to start arguing that it's not a real university because your professors don't publish. So this is all the problem, which my solution to this is let's forget that universities exist at all, because anyways, the universities are destroying themselves. I'm sure that in 50 years from now, you won't even have to care about universities because it would be ridiculous to want to go there. In fact, it's starting already to be kind of ridiculous. I mean, at this point, they are saying that the average undergraduate diploma from a university is given to a person who has basically the same IQ as someone who would have had a high school diploma. Or an equivalent like high school level diploma 50 years ago. So we are reducing the quality of people who are accessing the university. We've expanded it so much that we ended up with people who are not university level, but we have to make them pass. We have to argue that the university is still useful, so we're letting them pass with the same grades that 50 years ago would have meant something, but now mean nothing anymore. So let the universities self-destroy. Don't try to start your hustlers university or right-wing universities or Trump university. Just accept to degrade the entire network and reject the very concept of university education. US to announce international cryptocurrency action statement. That was a news that has caused on the market a lot of nervousness today, because they announced at noon, and they were saying, we will announce a major international cryptocurrency enforcement action. And I was like, holy shit, a major international cryptocurrency enforcement action. I thought they would basically make Binance illegal or something. Or we were speculating maybe Tether illegal. But no, it turns out it's a nothing burger. It's a nothing burger. It was a Russian unknown exchange that they are sanctioning because it's part of the Russian whatever. It was nothing, and it will result in nothing. That being said, the Bitcoin market is still shocked by the nervousness of today, and is still kind of following the stock market and slightly falling. So we'll see what it results in long term. But as far as this enforcement action, it meant nothing. Michael J. Morrison reports that Trump is preparing his return to Twitter. His team has been working on his first tweet and possible timing. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it at all. Of course, I want as much people to return to Twitter as they want. And I want Trump to return if he wants. But I don't think it's going to be as exciting as it was. I think Trump has tried to become too mainstream, and he doesn't have the instinct that he had, this bravado that he had in 2016. I think he's surrounded himself with people who are counseling him to be too soft, too reserved, and basically his political space has been torn apart from all directions, from the social conservatism direction, from the Democrat center position. There's nothing left for Trump. I think that the best thing that can happen is that it becomes very clear very fast that he can't win a nomination for the Republican Party, and then it's over. What else do we have before we close the show? NFT God on Twitter is speculating that there will be Twitter coins coming soon that will radically change the platform. I totally welcome this possibility. I think it would be a great idea to have Twitter coins becoming a cryptocurrency of sorts, rewarding the creators. And, if you publish a video, there's lots of viewers, you get rewarded with more Twitter coins. That would be fun. That would make Twitter basically the alternative to YouTube. And if it becomes a serious way to generate true income, like YouTube has been for so many years before it went bad, that would be an amazing thing. I'm getting prepared to host some Twitter spaces. And in fact, I'm going to tell you guys in exclusivity, I think I will host the public space Twitter spaces because I think that the name of my old show, The Public Space, is a perfect fit for Twitter spaces. I think I will host basically a public space. I would like people to come and for it to be some kind of an open mic moment. It could replace eventually my Ask Me Anything videos. Because, you know, calling people to Discord, that's a specialized thing. And it takes a lot of effort to install Discord. Not all of you necessarily want to do it. Some of you are on cell phones and you can't do it easily. But if I host a Twitter space and I call it the public space and it's an open mic session, all of you could talk. Maybe some friends of mine could come, some guests. I think that would be fun. I think we could bring back fun on the internet. That's what I'm working on. I cannot promise you exactly when that will be, but when I have some time in the afternoon, maybe I'll do such a thing. I will do a public space on Twitter. Steven Robinson says, Jeff, how can Twitter better archive one's content? Well, if you want me as a video creator, I would need a homepage with a list of all videos. This is the problem still with Twitter, is that it doesn't lead to a YouTube channel-like display of all your videos. If there was this, then I could move fully eventually to Twitter. But until there is this, I cannot make a living producing videos like I do, a series of show to a specific audience, and just leave it on a series of tweets in my feed that are spammed by all sorts of other tweets and all sorts of retweets of mine. There would need to be a stable YouTube-type page. That's all that Twitter would need to be a viable alternative. And then a super chat option would be very much welcome, and a chat option. Silver Spider says, from what I've seen, if you use crude language, spam, or insult JF or his family, you'll get banned. Not too difficult to avoid. Yeah, the person I banned used a slur that is just one of the worst slurs you can use, one that I will detect even if you've hidden it in a different way, and even if you cut some letters out of it, I am an AI that detects this and that will ban it. So that is it for tonight, boys. Exciting times ahead, exciting moments for the internet, and an overall enthusiasm with which I enter the future. By the way, I don't know if this guy is trolling, okay? Some guy said it's when he learned that I was pushing the show to 9 p.m. Eastern Time today, he said, "It's bad enough you're doing this at 20 Eastern Time normally. Seriously, just maybe move it to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Right now, you are coming off as an asshole." And I said, "What the fuck, bro? I moved the show like twice a year. I had a medical exam that could not be postponed. So the reason I had to push the show tonight is it was my biannual meeting with my doctor to check on me and everything. And I'm super healthy, doing super good. So that was just it. And it turns out that my doctor, you know, when he's available, I say yes. I will never say no to the secretary when she told me this morning. I went there at 7 a.m. and she told me, "We can get you at 6:45 tonight." I was like, "Okay, I'm pushing back my show. I don't care. It's one time in the year. It's an important meeting. And I'm not going to run after him to see him in a week or 2 weeks. If she tells me he has available time today, my answer is automatically yes." And so that's all to keep me alive, by the way, so that I can keep doing this show. So don't complain. I don't know if he was trolling anyway, but what a ridiculous attack on a man who's been streaming 365 days a week. And sometimes I'm 1 minute late. I'm one of the most on-time streamer in the history of humanity. All the streamers out there, they will all come late to their show. They will put 15 minutes of music in your ears. They're going to show up sometime at the 17th minute, sometimes at the 30th minute. I'm always here at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, no matter what. And most of the time, if I'm late by 1 minute, it's because some technical bug has happened that I don't control. So fuck you, whoever said this on the Telegram. Raised Fist says, "JF just received its third vaccine shot." No, zero vaccine. I am still a pure blood. And I went to my doctor simply to confirm that I was surviving and good and nothing to control for. And he confirmed that I'm still pure blood. Silver Spider says, "JF is only late when Odyssey makes him restart 10 times or he has a life-saving doctor's appointment." That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. See you all tomorrow. Thank you.